morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you here about 55 minutes. Today, we're by the 4th of July, and I want to thank all the people who are so kind to me for being named the Marshal, said such nice things, and to thank the Parade Committee. But I want to thank the Pittsfield Police Department, the City of Pittsfield, Vinnie Barbarotta, the Fire Department Chief Sammons. Here's the thing. It just doesn't happen. And we're going to, I just was discussing with the chief, about doing a show about what it took from their end to police, to fire, the city council, the EMS, to be ready for any emergency. This is a new world, folks. This is a new world. Believe me, it's not 1954 and the parade walks down, everybody goes to fireman's muster. And then I want to do a show, too, with the PCTV people who it's an amazing effort that they put in. And I want people to know it just doesn't happen. You know, I walk out or you walk out and watch the parade and then we go home. It just doesn't happen. But that's a topic for another day. Today I have Chief Thomas Dolly and it's going to be aired on Monday, but today is his wife's birthday. And boy, he and I are both lucky guys. That's all I'm going to say. But Chief, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you? And I just want to commend you on making the Grand Marshal. You did a wonderful job. Well-deserved. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. And it was overwhelming, humbling, and at times sad. I came home.
Yeah. You had a nice car, too.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as we sat in it, we were fine. It was getting in and getting out. It was my old joints don't bend like that anymore. But Chief, congratulations to you and your entire department for keeping everybody safe, planning, and making it a fun time for everybody that wasn't working.
Yeah,
you know,
I tell you. You know, there's an amount of anxiety that leads up to that day, Bill. I certainly had it. A lot of my command staff had it. For all the officers, I commend them for doing such a wonderful job, keeping everybody safe. It was a good turnout. And, you know, everybody, like I said, everybody went home. We go through this. I'm going on over 22 years with these parades. It's a wonderful thing for the city of Pittsfield to do. But yeah, we alter our game plan every year, with the climate of the nation, so a lot of planning goes into a lot of anxiety, leading up to it. And once it's done, we're like, we got through it. So.
Yeah. And years ago, well, in several occasions, but I was working with a guy who was from the UK, a counterterrorism guy, and I leave you with this, and you can share with your folks. To defeat a terrorist, you have to think like a terrorist.
Unfortunately, you're right.
I've used that through the years. I've written about it. I've and projects overseas and domestic. You know, and it's almost training ourselves to do that.
Right.
Because we don't think like they.
Right. Yeah. So, no, it's a lot of prep work. To echo what you were saying, you got to keep that mindset in check. Yeah. We onboarded some more resources this year based on some of the national climate. So, we're professionals. This is what we do.
Yeah, and I will tell you, you did it marvelously. And I had the DA on. He was on this morning.
Really?
Yeah, I'll send you the link. But one of the things that he gave you guys a lot of credit, and I do too, how quickly you solved that shooting and got the guy.
Just clarify which one, Bill, because we had short span, unfortunately.
Yeah, not the one on Fenn Street, the other one.
Oh, the one on North Street?
Right.
Yeah, excellent job on our part. All the detectives and investigators.
Yeah.
No. People can't escape digital evidence and the world we're in today.
No, no. So. And for people, and the DA wanted to stress this, and I do too. We are working day and night, they are, and I promote them to make it the safest place it can be. So this is an anomaly.
Right.
This North Street thing is an anomaly. I mean, you guys are really doing a good job, in my opinion, cleaning up North Street.
You know, we're really dedicated not only to just the city of Pittsfield in general,
right.
But for some of the retailers downtown. You know, we have our issues of panhandlers and homeless. That's a systemic thing, Bill.
Right.
You know, that's yep. not just Pittsfield. It's everywhere. So we're thinking outside the box a little bit now. For the last year, at least since I took over, I'm starting to think outside the box and trying to come up with some better ideas. You know, for the downtown area and surrounding areas, you know, we have the pedal bike patrols.
Yeah.
We have the co-responder diversion team that can help with some of the issues that we're having out there. And we also have, I put on a downtown foot patrol with non-uniform officers in
right.
plain clothes going down. But it's not just the North Street corridor. When I say downtown, kind of like from Seymour Street, North Street, over to First Street, the Common, the parking decks. So we're trying to South Street down towards the Colonial that way, because there is some issues down there as well, Park Square.
Sure.
So we're trying to spread it out with limited staff and trying to stretch the resources that we have.
And I think what you brought to it, if I may say, is years of experience on the streets.
Yeah.
And also incorporating your vision of how you want the department to operate. And I think it's working.
It's my background, Bill, and we had this discussion before. My background was mainly investigations and patrol.
Yeah.
You know, sitting in this seat now, I miss being a police officer.
I know.
You know, I love getting out in a cruiser. I love being out talking to people. I mean, maybe that's my gift to gab. I don't know. But, you know, I love, my heart and soul is investigations. I love when investigations get solved, really. I mean, they get investigated properly. We have resources and it comes to a good resolution. So, but, you know, that's a different flavor. You know, you got to try things.
Yeah, as I think I mentioned to you, the higher up you go, the further you get away from the job you thought you had.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, I miss it. I try to get out, believe it or not, I try to get out in the cruiser once in a while when I'm not stuck behind the computer answering emails or phone calls and just being out there. I just love it.
Yeah.
I miss it.
I know, and you do, and you have done, and you are doing a great job. But it's again, it's remolding, it's adapting to today.
Yeah.
Today's world is nuts.
It is, you know. It's you know, coming into this back in June of 2023, I was a nervous wreck. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
You know, some of the biggest things that I feared in this job was, one, the budget, two was public speaking, and three was dealing with media. And within the past year, I think I've overcome all those fears.
Good.
By doing it on a constant basis. You know, when I became chief, or when I became a police officer, I never thought I had to deal with the budget at all. I didn't want nothing to do with it. I'm not a numbers guy.
Yeah.
Within the last year or something, I've had to learn it. I had to force myself to learn it, you know, and I think this year we did a great job with the budget. I know Councilor Persip made a comment on how well it was laid out and how detailed it was, and his expectations were met. Our expectations were met. So I give credit to my staff here, to be honest with you, Bill. I couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah. And again, there are all these hidden gems within the city that work for the city, be it public health, the fire department, the police department, the city clerk's office. I mean, and these people, I like to spotlight them. I like to highlight them because they make it work for all of us.
They deserve it. They deserve it.
You know, you mentioned Vinny Barbera. I've seen Vinny when I used to go to the station in the morning, freezing cold morning, snow. There's Vinny driving around checking out the. He has already been out for like 2 hours. You know,
Vinny's wonderful. Vinny is such an asset to that department.
Yes.
He'll do anything for you.
He's the nicest person you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And he's the most, in my opinion, he's the most knowledgeable of what needs to be done and when it needs to be done.
Of course.
Standing, salting, that, you know, that when, it's 100 degrees today. But so I just want people to think it'll be cold again soon.
Well, you know, just like any department, your hands are tied on some things, but he makes it work.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, because I don't have a life, I get to watch like the city council meetings and all that. When you get to be I told Marchetti, you got to draw these meetings to a close at 8:30 because then I fall asleep and I miss the rest of the meeting.
They start losing you, huh?
Yeah. Some of the times they lose me at 7:00. But the bear in the room still is civil service as far as filling vacancies.
Correct.
Any movement on that?
So the word now is, the good thing is people are still taking the test. You know, when we came on and when I came on, there was thousands of people taking the test. But we still have people taking the test and getting on the list and passing and so on and so forth. But now with legislation, I think it's passed the House. It might be in the Senate now. And we might see it soon where we're able to, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but they're going to do they're changing civil service a little bit, at least for the police and fire, where before you would have to take the test, get on the list, go through the requisition period, be interviewed, blah, blah, blah. Now what they're doing is they're kind of splitting it up. They're doing some people from the list.
Yeah.
And then departments are able to do the other 50% on their own hiring merits. So we would have like a hiring, I'm trying to find the words to describe.
Like an employment committee.
Like an assessment, like in a regular, So we're going to have a process where we can not go through, it'd still be civil service, but not go through the traditional way of doing the list, where we would have our own assessment, our own tests, our own evaluations. You're going to get a diverse group going for these jobs, and it's going to open up the pool so much more.
Listen. Yeah, I was a big proponent of civil service because we only had an association.
Yeah.
Now you have a union with contracts and, you know, I guess they haven't changed their ways in 80 years and they're just outdated.
It's archaic. And I think for all I know, there's only probably 2 or 3 people down working at civil service now in Boston. It's archaic.
Yeah.
Good things.
But what always has bothered me, not always, but over the past few years, they were holding the chiefs, that they be in the city council, and they were holding the chiefs' feet to the fire because of overtime. And I always would get angry and say, there has to be so many people either in the firehouse or on the street every shift. And if you have to overtime because of civil service, don't blame the chief.
What we're at right now is you know, our biggest overtime vacuum is our staffing. Our staffing, our shifts, because each shift has a minimum.
Right.
That you have to have on the street. That's for safety, plain and simple. So with having those minimums and vacations coming up and people out on leave and stuff like that, we got to backfill those with staff. And that's, you know, and when your numbers aren't up or they're not, the formula is if your numbers are up, your overtime should go down. But if your numbers are not up, you have to fill the void by
compensate. You got to compensate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I often would get, you know, like my wife says, you know, stop screaming at the television. They can't hear you, but the neighbors can. saying, what, don't be harassing the chief for overtime budget, because it's most of it, 99 to 98%, is outside of his control. And that's this fire, same thing.
Yeah, fire is the same way. You know, I'm not sure about the other city departments, but I know that they're dealing with some personnel issues. Okay. Because let's face it, Bill, you know, plumbers and electricians and painters, yeah, if they go out on their own and work for somebody or themselves, they're making X amount of money more than what the city is offering. And that's anywhere.
That's exactly right. And to keep the people, and I know this probably give me some hate mail, but I get it anyhow. To keep the good people that we have, and that's even the police and fire, because, you know, some of these other towns and cities can reach out and say, you know, to take in transfer, lateral transfers or whatever they call it now.
Right.
And we put all the money in and then they go. So, but I hope that this comes soon for your sake and other people and Chief Sammons, because it is unfair to you guys. And I know this year, I watched it. They were pretty good. The council, with the civil service, or I'm sorry, with the fire and the police and the city budget. But I think in the future, if this moves forward and it comes to fruition, boy, what a cost savings that will be for you.
Yeah. No, you know, in the early stages of the budget, you know, my ideal number would be between 110 and 120 officers.
Yeah.
Unrealistic, probably, but I would settle for 105. Right now, I'm only budgeted for 97. We used to be budgeted for 99 back in 2018. They took two of my officers away and created the co-responder position, which is fantastic. It's great to have, but I wish we would have found a way to budget it then and keep my number at 99, but it is what it is.
But I think down the road in today's environment, and I don't want to beat that horse to death, but I can tell you from my experience, I was just looking at something from a friend. We have to be prepared. That's all I'm saying. And you guys, going back to the parade, I truly believe that you had thought out every contingency and had it planned for. And somebody said, seriously, you left a truck right in the middle of the road. I couldn't get up the street.
The Bearcat, the SRT vehicle?
No. This was like a city truck to block the street.
Oh.
You know? I mentioned, well, that's a precaution. Yeah, but you can't park. So someday I'll share with you what I was told by somebody.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It was brilliant.
We always learn, you know, every year, you know, we have a little briefing after, like, what did we do good? What did we do? What do we need work on? And, you know, we learn every single year and just hopefully gets better and better and better.
And it is a new environment for people that you understand that this world, no one knows where it's going to come from next. Mm-hmm. And that's how you have to think and try to strategize. And I think you've done a brilliant job at it, you and your whole team, and the same with the fire guys. Recruiting, you're doing well? You're getting
recruited? Okay. Right now we have, you know, knock on wood, you know, we're talking about the numbers earlier, Bill.
Right.
Knock on wood, by the end of this year, I think in the first time in a long time in Pittsfield police history, we'll be able to employ 97 officers.
Wow. Congratulations.
So, yeah. Great. It's great. We have three in the academy. One just graduated through the field training, so he's on his own. I have one more that's going to be going to the academy in fall. And I just sent over a requisition with human resources to employ five more. And we have maybe one lateral transfer that may be coming from the Boston area.
Wow. Good.
So we're going to stack them up.
Yeah. And, you know, another another method I've seen is, and I don't know if you ever get it through here, but is when I, like, say one of the guys or gals come and say, listen, I'm planning on retiring September 30th.
Mm-hmm.
They let you start to backfill then, you know, because of the training and all that. They let you hire somebody to replace that person as close to the retirement date as possible, so you don't have that huge waiting period.
Yeah, we, you know, as you know, it's at least a year before.
Yeah.
From start to finish.
Yeah.
I mean, training, field training, the academy, the orientations, the onboarding, the, you know, the interviews, the application process. It's about a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it takes a long time.
Yeah. And you know, again, not to belabor this, but there has to be so many police officers for every shift, so many firefighters in the fire stations. And, you know, I think, I guess there was some chit chat about closing a fire station. Oh boy. Go ahead and try that. I've been around a long time. I've seen that game played a couple of times, and the people who promoted it, they didn't get elected again. So
no, that would not be to our advantage at all.
No, because also what they don't, it will also affect your insurance.
Absolutely. You won't, people don't realize, especially as simple as having a hydrant in front of your house or within close proximity. Yeah. It goes just like the fire departments. If you don't live in an area where there's a fire department, your insurance will go way up.
Right. That's right. And I'm glad to hear you're getting people to come on the job, because I've read a lot of places are having an awful time recruiting and maintaining, and retention has been brutal.
Yeah. But, no, we are definitely, we're in a good position now where our salary, compensation, benefits are comparable to other cities and towns in the Commonwealth.
Right.
So, you know, and not only that, Bill, but once you get into a department like this, there's so many different avenues that you can go into.
Yep.
You know, so.
And I think people need to know that the PPD is really a diversified career field.
Yes.
You know, if you want, you can stay on the street and be a uniform. You want to go to detectives undercover, whatever. And that's been an evolutionary process, you know,
right.
But through various chiefs, you know, in the old days, when I first came on, it was basically X number of detectives, and they were detectives, and then they were patrol.
Yep.
But now it's really got diversified. I thank, God rest his soul, Chief Dermody, Chief Stankiewicz, because they had the vision. At then things were changing. You know.
Yep. No, we're you know, we're not fully staffed in our detective bureau and our drug enforcement unit, but we have added a digital evidence unit, which now we do everything in house. Where before we were sending stuff to the state police, sending stuff out to be evaluated and analyzed. When I was a detective captain, this kind of took fruition, where we're like, why don't we just create a unit, get the funding for it, get grants, and train our own personnel to do it here. Because as you know, Western Mass stops at around Holyoke or Worcester.
Oh, I know. Believe me.
You know, we have to kind of take care of our own out here in Berkshire County.
Well, I think before we go to break, though, I do want to say what I really admire what you've done, and Chief went previously, is you've digitized. That's what somebody told me the other day. Well, you can't have that because it's being digitized. Really? Did it hurt? You know, I don't know what the hell that means. But that was visionary. And I use that word because, as you know, when I was on, we didn't have a lot of visionaries. They were, we've always done it that way. And
best practice. We've done it that
yeah,
way.
yeah.
It works.
Oh, believe me, if I heard that one time, I heard it a thousand. We're going to take a break. I'm here with a person that you probably can tell I have the greatest respect for. I really do. As a person, as a man, as a dad, as a husband. But he does the job, and he does it with class. And right now, I will say this. We got a DA. We got a chief in Pittsfield, a police chief. You got state police. They're all working in a very cohesive manner. They're not punching each other, or undercutting, or, you know. And you know who? You know what happens when that happens? The bad guys lose. And that's been happening. I mean, we had the DA on this morning, and or yesterday morning, and it was just amazing when you hear all the stuff they're doing. That, and when we come back, we'll talk about the coordination between the sheriff and the chiefs and the DA and the actual working across the county. It's not just Pittsfield. They work across the county. I do want to say this, and you know, by now I've gotten your emails, some of you people, but live with it or listen to somebody else. This is my flag. I know a lot of friends of mine have been buried under it. So whatever you do, stop desecrating it. Because I've been all over the world, and I can tell you, every time I got off that plane back home, it was a lot better than the places that I left. And some of them are they're great to visit, but I will tell you, they don't have the freedoms we have, and we got to guard those freedoms. We'll be right back. Chief Tom Dolly, he's the best. And he's in there, and every day he's slugging, and every day this in his career field, you got to be slugging because it's changing like, you know, like you had hair, Bill. All right, we'll be right back. Tom, we go to the same hairdresser. We'll be right back. Yeah. This is 89.7 WTBR, and we're simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM. Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I am really happy to have with me today Chief Tom Dolly. He, we were in the first part of the show, and I want to recap a little bit. I congratulated him on having such a wonderful presence at the 4th of July parade. And I hope to do a show in the future where you see how much it took to ensure our safety. And also we're going to do a show with PCTV on how much it took to get that thing all over the world that went. So, I mean, it was a wonderful event. It was a wonderful parade. It was a wonderful weekend. But that a lot of that was because of the efforts put in by the Pittsfield Police, the Pittsfield Fire, EMS, Vinnie Barbarotta and his crew. Well, we got to take care of the people who take care of us. And if, that's my feeling. And I've been doing this show a long time. And I know of some of the things because of my background and old friends. I just was on the thing with a guy. He's with NASA. And I said, you're still working? He goes, yeah, I'm going to retire next year. I'm going to be 68. I said, good for you. But the issues, Tom, Chief, are just amazing that you have to kind of work around and figure around and, you know, all the different activities. I had the DA on, and he was talking about his child exploitation and sex trafficking, and you guys are part of that.
We are part of it. We have at least, I know for definitely one officer, actually a sergeant, Sergeant Callahan, who's on the task force through the DA's office and Mass State Police, the Child Exploitation and Human Trafficking Division. So, you know, that's you have to have these counter partners, especially with, you know, a city the size of Pittsfield, to have these external resources come in and help us, help them. You know, we can't do it by ourselves, as you know. We're fortunate. Other departments are not as fortunate, but they don't handle the amount of calls that we do.
Fortunately, I came from Lanesboro down to Pittsfield, and the volume of calls, and I came on at midnight on a midnight shift, and the volume of calls compared to Lanesboro midnight, you know, if you got four calls, it was a lot.
Right.
Especially before 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock when the bars closed. Pittsfield, it was all night. It was all night. And with then we had the ambulance too.
We average between, I know for at least the day shift and the second shift, you know, they're averaging 70, 100 calls per shift.
Wow. Yeah,
at the least. Now they're not all exigent, you know, high profile. They're different calls. I mean, we get different calls, but think about something that happens where you have an accident in Coatesville.
Yeah.
All right. There's 2 to 3 officers. Then at the same time, you have a domestic. There's 2 officers. Then at the same time, you have an overdose.
Exactly.
That's my whole shift.
Yeah.
So that's why we triage the calls. Dispatch does a great job of triaging the calls.
They really do.
They do a great job. Yep.
They and I will tell you, sometimes, you know, you'll find out when you get to be my age. You turn the scanner on, and I say to myself, or my wife said, it's nonstop. And you're right. Maybe they're all not a shooting or a bad action, but you still have to respond.
Yeah.
And what make you come in over the phone, and you know this, I'm doing this for the public, but may come in over the phone, when you get there, it's a much bigger issue.
The switches like that.
Yeah. It, 2 neighbors fighting over property. Yes, they really were fighting.
Literally.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
What I hear a lot is, you know, the officer took an hour to get there. The officer didn't respond in a timely manner. And I just want to let the public know that we do field every call that comes in the best we can. You know, if the beat officer can't immediately get out there, he either will come out there personally when he's clear from whatever he's done, or he'll call the resident and try to make some kind of contact with them. If it's important to the public, it's important to us. That's what it comes down to. So we try to make every call.
That's the image I believe you have now. You got starting back the door. We're here for you,
right? Absolutely.
But I have to admit, and the dispatcher was wonderful because he could have been a sir. I don't know who it was, but I had a fox in my backyard, and it didn't look healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I called, and they were very kind. They said, we only do domestic animals. We don't do. So it gave me, you know, the information, and I called. But the professionalism, you know, he could have said, hey, dude, what are you, wacky? You got a fox in your backyard.
Yeah.
The wacky part's already been pretty well established. But you know, it's that kind of reaching out. Now, I have to ask you about town hall, the old town hall. You've got some breathing room now.
So this started back. Let me give you a little background.
Yeah, please.
Where we're at now. Back when Chief Wynn was working, We had Mayor Tyre, and you know, we tried to get that old town hall. It's a city owned building, you know, city owned lot, and it kind of fell by the wayside. So when in June, when I became the interim the chief, I says, I'm gonna go for it again. I'm gonna bring this up again. So I went to the mayor and I pleaded my case with then Mayor Tyre. And you know, she thought about it. We went back and forth. She then presented it to her department heads at the time, and there wasn't one negative thing that anyone said. And she says, basically, she says that pretty much says it. You know, we'll give it to the police department. I says, that's wonderful news. So from there, you know, it's been challenging, Bill. It's been an uphill battle ever since, and no fault of the city of Pittsfield. There's a lot of red tape that goes into this because it's a historic building.
Yeah.
And my vision of that building, obviously structurally, is not to compromise it, but inside there are certain codes that we have to abide by. And we already went through the planning stage. We had the prints done. I approved the prints. I like what I saw. And now the next step is going through the Historical Society, the county's Historical Society, procurement process of finding the funds to do the upgrade over there. You know, it's a lot, but you know, I often make the joke, you could stand out front of this department right now and look at the walls of our department and they bow.
Yeah.
Because we have so much more now than we did in 1938.
Yeah. And not only that, there's been, I'm sure, and I'm probably not the right guy because my wife won't even let me hang a picture, you know, because it's a very involved two day process.
Yeah.
And a lot of cursing. But I would say that structurally, because of through the years, all the zings and zags, that probably structurally compromised.
You mean this department here?
Yeah, that building.
Oh, absolutely. We're, you know, every day I'm on the phone with Brian Filio, poor him. You know, hey, Brian, you know, can we get some, you know, it's 90 degrees out. Can I get an AC unit put in my sergeant's office for the officers? Yep, took care of it. Done. Now my lieutenants don't have any air conditioning. So I says, hey, can we get maybe a heat pump in there for AC and stuff? Yep, took care of it. So these little band-aids that we're putting on, you know, a tile floor comes up, you know, people are tripping over it. Can you just take care of that? Asbestos and the piping downstairs. We have an awful problem with humidity in the basement. Where officers, literally a couple of years ago, officers' uniforms in their lockers were getting mold and mildew on them.
Yeah.
You know, we're barely passing inspections. So my idea was to get over here, to get into Old Town Hall, to make it our own. You know, my plan was to maybe bring the detective bureau and those counterparts and my administration over there. That opens up the whole top floor for my department, this building, for traffic, for training, for co-responders, for different aspects that we can use the space for. Officers right now, honestly, Bill, not to belabor this, but
no, but it's real. It's part of the story.
My officers, when they have their lunch break, I go downstairs. You know, I always check in with everybody, say how you're doing, you know, how their days are going.
Yeah,
they're standing in you know, our comm room, our main room downstairs. They're literally eating their lunch standing up.
Yeah,
I says that's got to stop. So I pitched a kitchen over here.
Oh, cool.
Appliances, places for them to sit down and actually have their lunch, TV, you know, just certain things that they can take 5-10 minutes out of their day just to consume their lunch without getting indigestion.
Yeah. And you know, again, it's the vision, the foresight. How do you keep people? It isn't just money. Money isn't everything. It's working environment. It's collegiality, it's comrade. You know, I often said I haven't ever experienced the camaraderie that we had in Vietnam, and the only other places have been where I've worked.
Yeah.
because I've always been in the criminal justice field, and there's a camaraderie there. And I think what by you doing that, that just strengthens that camaraderie, that building of that camaraderie. Sitting and having a sandwich with somebody, I got to tell you this. Downstairs, it was pouring rain, right? So I had to write a report. So I'm sitting in there, and I won't tell you who. Comes in and says, "Are you done?" I said, "Almost." "Well, come on, you got to get going. Get out there." It's pouring rain. I had post two, walking
beat. Oh, the walking beat.
Yeah. I said, "Oh, yeah, I'll be right out, Kevin." "Hey, don't write a novel. Get done. Get outside. We ain't paying you to sit in here."
Yeah.
And that was the old way. Now you guys have really revolutionized it, modernized it, whatever the proper term is. It's camaraderie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most of us had it at the beat level, but upstairs was different.
That's so, you know, not to beat this with a dead horse, but
yeah.
You know, when I came in here into this position, one of my visions was to foster a family-like atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, we have two families, and the brotherhood and sisterhood with policing, you're with these people 40 hours a week. You're actually more, you're with your officers more than you are with your own family sometimes. So to have two families, being the one primary, your family, and then having a family here, you know, it's important. So what I always say is, you know, if you have a happy officer and an officer that has their mindset and they're good, they're going to be able to serve out there so much better.
Yeah.
So that's why I try to bring a lot of this into.
It's a career field. It's and you nailed it. You spend probably more time at work with your brothers and sisters there. Mm-hmm. Than you do at home, and the job's hard enough.
Yeah,
the job's hard without a horrible building to go into. And I think I can say this without offending anybody. It wasn't that great when I was there, and I haven't been there for 30 years. So. We're having movement towards the town hall. I mean, that's
yes. It's a snail's pace, but we're getting there.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, when the world out there turns the back on the police, which, you know, swings like a pendulum, you know what I mean? So, but we know we have each other inside these walls. So it's when all the world, sometimes we're the best. Sometimes we're terrible.
Yeah.
It's just a job. I've been used to it. But we know we have each other. And we know we have our families, so.
And I think what you have too, is what you've done, and Chief Wynn, you have a younger group.
Yes.
You know, some got to be, you know, and this isn't a negative thing, but some have to be fine-tuned, and trained, and understand the camaraderie, understand the job. Understand, and I think some of them need to understand the dangers.
Yeah, and it goes both ways, Bill. Some of the older veterans have to adapt to the younger generation, whereas the younger generation has to adapt to the older generation.
Yeah.
It's two different policings.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I mean, I was fortunate. Most of the ones when I was there were World War II guys just waiting to retire.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that, but they had their ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And you know, hey, kid, if I had a dollar for every time somebody called me kid, I'd be a rich man.
Well, it's funny because there's one officer that's a veteran here, and geez, he was older when I got on, and that was over 22 years ago. He would say to the newer guys, "Don't talk to me until you got 5 years on."
Oh yeah,
right.
Here's a quick war story. There was a guy exposing himself on the Lanesboro Pittsfield line.
Push him over to Lanesboro, or did you push him over to Pittsfield?
No, I was in Lanesboro. I got called back up Pittsfield. And then one of the guys were there, one of the older guys. And a guy was obviously was exposing himself when I got there.
Yeah.
So I said, well, you can arrest him. He said, well, for what, disturbing the peace? I said, no, lewd and lascivious in speech and behavior. And he looked at me like, what?
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's what it is. He goes, all right, I'll do it. But if I get in trouble, I'm coming back for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But it is a career field that is so rewarding. I mean, I look back and think how lucky I was to be one and be part of that whole team. What do you see for the future? Are you going to get a new station?
So, you know, there's been talks. I mean, and I always make this analogy. What's easier, taking this over and putting a Band-Aid on it or spending $55 to $70 million, you know, build a new one, which I will never see in my career. But, you know, now you have the talks about Wacona Park, you have, you know, the money allocated for that, you know, yes, we need a new station. What's more important for the economy? What's more important for the city? So I don't get involved in that. You know, Bill, my badge says police, not politics.
Right. So. Yeah. No. And I think, and I understand, I think maybe perhaps
good luck.
Yeah. The cost. But I also think that let's sit down with pencil and paper with the people who'll be doing it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, put pen to paper. Yep.
But the people who, like you, your captains, your sergeants, the patrol officers, the detectives, special ops guys, and say, okay, do we need a $55 million or $80 million building? Do we? And that's the first thing. I think the design was wonderful. And I've done this a couple of times around the world, designed facilities, and the architects will come and the engineers will cut architects and engineers, and they'll have this beautiful building. But when you sit down with the people going to be in it, they say, oh, no, we don't need that. Or you see that ramp? Well, I got to push a heavy cart of wet clothes up that ramp. You got it going this way. Why don't you put the dryers here? And the why they do it. And I think that's my only flaw, Chief. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just saying, if sit down with the people who will be doing it.
No, and you know, Chief Wynn, I remember to his credit, he wanted to go out with the legacy of having a new station built, and he went through the process. He worked very hard on it. It just never got off the ground. And here we are now with me. You know, I'm not going to go through this process. let's get moving on this building.
Yep, get that done.
And if something comes up down the line, we don't have to have a new building, but if there's a building, a school or something that comes across my desk, let's do it.
Well, you
know, the biggest thing over here, Bill, is it's an old HVAC system. So that's the biggest money dump will probably be the HVAC system.
Yeah, and dealing, I used to be on the historical society, so I know what you're going through. I mean, there were some people say, "Oh, you can't take that screw out of that door. That screw was there, Abraham Lincoln." Well, you know, but there's also legitimate. And it could come. I mean, the other piece that I was going to say, too, is tap Richie Neal, tap the senators for federal money. You know, it may be there, may not be there, but until you go knocking on the doors, I mean, I was with the feds long enough to know there's money. You just have to know where it is.
You got a 50-50 shot going in, so.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, why not?
What's been the most challenging part of the job?
Personnel, as you know, and you know, I got close to 120 people here, 120 personalities. I am, and I always will be for the officers and my staff. That's who I am. But, you know, it comes at you all different ways. You know, you just gotta, slow down, think about it, talk to people like they're human beings,
yeah,
listen to them, and try to find a way to work it out. That's what I've learned in the last year and a half.
And our reports, and I hear a lot from a lot of people, as you well know, you're doing a great job, and I think you need to hear that.
Thank you.
No, I mean that. I think you need to hear, because sometimes, I mean, I've been behind a desk like that, and there's times you go, what am I doing here? You know,
I think it's every day when I come in, I do that. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I doing it right? You know?
Hey, thank God for people like you and the people that wear that uniform. And I mean that. You know, I shared this with somebody we both know. And I said, when I learned this, don't judge anybody, the employee, on what others tell you. Judge the employee on how they relate to you and you to them. Because, I mean, I can think of my own career. There were people that they were difficult.
Yeah, and, you know, and everybody's different. Everybody's qualities are different. And, you know, I tell it like it is. I'm very transparent. You know, I don't want to get caught in that web where he said, she said stuff. This is me. You're going to hear from me. If I don't like it, or if I do like it, you're going to hear. You know, the old saying is you commend in public and criticize in private.
That's exactly right.
So that's
you know, I applaud you for what you're doing there and what you've accomplished in your time as chief, and you have a lot more to go. I want you to always know that this program, if you ever want to come on, just have your secretary call me. And you might want to tell Briefer a little bit on me that I'm not normal. You know, my VA card starts with 30. So yeah, when you're going to the VA, the first word out of their mouth is security. But anytime, Chief. Anytime.
Thank you. Appreciate
even
it.
Even if it's an announcement, put me on your press release. I'll announce, because I've got a couple of announcements here. You can stay if you want, or you can sign off, whatever. I will say this to you and to my audience. I'll say it again. God bless and take care of each other. I mean, that's everybody's job, is to take care of each other, because no matter how difficult life can be, your smile, your phone call, your visit can lift somebody's spirits up. Believe me when I tell you that.
Amen.
Chief, the best to you, buddy. And listen, I want you to take your wife out to see Mel Brooks's Young Frankenstein at the Colonial. You'll laugh so hard.
It's excellent. Yeah.
Oh, it is. It is. I laughed, honest to God. It was great.
Yes. Thank you.
You bet. And happy birthday to your wife.
Thank you very much. Take
you
care. Bye bye.
You too. I'll be in touch. Don't take that as a threat. Bye, Chief. Thank you. All right. Young Frankenstein, June 27th through July 21st. You heard the Chief. It's great. Get to see it. It is a scream. Laugh. You'll love it. And I swear to you, you will love it. And I mean that. I think of things that went on during the show that I've remembered, and I laugh still. And the other thing, too, is Memory Cafe in the Berkshires. It's held at the Ferraio Center on Wednesdays, the third Wednesday of the month. Give a call there at the Ferraio Center, but it's from 1 to 3. It's a Memory Cafe. It's a casual social group for caregivers and people with mild cognitive impairment or memory loss. It's a wonderful thing. It helps people get out the third Wednesday of the month and enjoy it. Also, coming up on the 19th of this month, Fabrizio and the Michael Fabrizio and others will be performing at the Wine. Oh, Charlie, just drew a blank. That happens at my age. But It's to raise money for Berkshire Theater Group's summer camp for kids that wouldn't get an opportunity to go. And the place is going to be Balderdash. There you go. See, wait long enough, it'll come back. And lastly, but not leastly, it's back. It's back. St. Joseph's Church Polish Picnic, July the 21st, noon to 5. Do not miss it. Do not miss it. And all I can tell you, folks, is thank you for watching the show. Thank you for my memory slips. But take care of each other. It's a tough world out there now, dangerous world. So be well. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Keep on.